talking about finding yourself, you know, your own truth and what you're going to discover in order to break through limiting beliefs and so forth. There is a woman who's joining me now who has done this and so much more, Galit Ventura Rosen. She is an award-winning motivational speaker. She's the author of a book called The Successful Woman's Mindset: Unlock the Secrets of Success and Activate Your Power. And this is what the theme of today's show is always pretty much on the Aware shows, that we offer this opportunity during this hour here for you to get a dose of inspiration, motivation, activation of who you really truly are. When you're listening to the Aware show, you remember your truth. You remember your journey. You remember who you are. And then we have these great guests on who help you if you're stuck or if you're in a rut or if you really just need a boost or a mentor, help you get to the next level. We all need mentors. We all do. So Galit, wow, what a journey she's been on. She lost her voice for a very long time and has found it through a different source. Let's have Galit tell her story. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you, Lisa. Thank you for having me.
Ah, so good to have you here. What a story, girl. Tell me a little bit about your growing up, your childhood.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I am very blessed to have had an amazing childhood. And it's interesting to me because when this situation happened to me, and I'll share a little bit about it, I actually never thought of it as such a big deal. It's so interesting because we go through things and we never think of it as a big deal. But then people would ask me about my voice as I got older, and I found that this was a place where I was able to connect with people to say, wait, Galit, you know that's kind of a big deal, right? I said, really, it is? I don't know. I never looked at it like that. So it's interesting how sometimes we look at the things we've gone through and think, we got through it. It's really not that big of a deal, but somebody else might be able to relate. And I did a video on my story, and it's on YouTube, and it's called Why My Voice is Hoarse. Never thought anything about it about 2.5 years ago. Very vulnerable, just holding the phone. And it's gotten over 25,000 views, and it's really affected a lot of people that are commenting about their voice, how they always thought they were different and they shouldn't be. So you never know how your story will impact other people. And a lot of times it's not even really about you. It's about how can somebody else relate and maybe in turn take it and think, wait, there's somebody out there that's gone through what I've gone through, so maybe it's not so bad.
Well, what did people think was wrong with your voice? And it's funny how people say wrong, right? Because it's, it's a weird word.
I think that a lot of times, so when I was 7 years old, I'll give you the very short version. When I was 7 years old, I woke up like any other child and I just didn't have a voice. Big deal, right? People lose their voices all the time. Maybe I screamed too much. Maybe I had a cold. I mean, laryngitis. But what ended up happening was it wasn't that. So after a stream of doctors, and you know, the ear, nose, throat doctor puts that thing down your throat who knows how many times, we found out that I have a nodule on one of my vocal cords. Now, typically a nodule is an adult thing. It's very rare for children to get it. And a lot of times it's from straining your voice, singing too much, yelling too much. So it really started out with me being told I did something to myself, which is so unfortunate because, I mean, obviously I didn't. I was a normal 7-year-old.
Oh, and seven, yeah.
Yeah, my voice really sounded like a whisper. So if you listened back then, if something was recorded, I almost sounded like this all the time.
Whispering? Oh.
And that's, wow. Yeah, all the time. So from there I went to speech therapy, getting pulled out of school twice a week for the speech therapist at the public school. And in short, what happened was the doctor said to me, when you're 16, you can come back and get a surgery and have the nodule removed. And here we go, have a normal voice, right? Because everything needs to be normal. And I ended up finding out at the age of 13 through speech therapists, almost as if a singer would have taken lessons in practicing their octaves, they continuously shared that exercise with me, and they found this voice. Now, it sounds so funny, but practicing over and over and over again with your octaves, this is the voice that came out that day, and this is the voice that stayed.
Oh.
So now I had a new voice that chose me instead of the one I was born with.
Huh. Well, that's kind of beautiful. I mean, that really is beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
And it's It is harsh how we get imprinted when we're very young, and all those impressions get laid in as if they just get baked in from a very, very early age. And kids don't know any better. You could say kids are harsh, but they just don't know any better. They have to learn.
They really don't.
Yeah.
They really don't. Anything that's different is not comfortable.
Oh, I know.
So obviously, kids were mean. For me, it didn't affect me in that way because I just always had such a great family and support. I never felt different. But when you're going through puberty and you don't have your voice at the same time, all of that becomes a little much. So what happened to me is I did my dangest to stay out of the spotlight. I never wanted to be called on. I never wanted to speak out in class. I never wanted to give presentations because I just felt so uncomfortable. And once I found a voice at 13, it cracked and I lost it with nerves.
Oh.
So the first day of school was very, very trying for me because they do roll call. And then with having such a different name as well, the teacher could never pronounce my name. So she would look up on the first day of school, look for me, and I'd have to speak out in front of the class. So let me just say I got it out of the way pretty quick. And I had to just speak up and deal with whatever came out.
Now, when you tried all of this and you went through this, did you wind up feeling like you had to hide all the time?
I never felt like I had to hide. I was very blessed to have a personality that was very social and very friendly and very kind. But I think for me it was more about speaking up in groups in front of a class. Things like that for me were very scary because I didn't know what was going to come out of my throat. I didn't know what was going to be my voice that moment. So I just did my dangest to stay off the cage. Off the stage, which ironically today I'm a professional speaker. But it's right. It never fails. So I think for me it was when people say I had to find my voice, I say I had to literally and figuratively, because I had to get confidence within myself to be comfortable with what voice chose me, as well as literally finding a voice so when I spoke, something came out.
Now, at 16, it wasn't just the voice lessons that helped you. What else happened in your life at that time?
Well, I went back to the doctor when I was 16. They asked me if I wanted the surgery to remove the nodule, and I actually said no, and they were shocked.
Mm-hmm.
What? You don't want to have a normal voice? I said, are you kidding me? I walk behind people and they know it's me. This voice has become a part of who I am. So it was a really big part of who I was. And at the same time, as life will have it, at the same time around the age of 15, I actually experienced death for the first time because my best friend committed suicide right after she spoke to me.
At 15?
Yeah. I was 15, she was 16.
She was 16?
Yeah. Oh. She was 15, I was 16, yeah. And it's interesting because I'm not downplaying the experience I went through. I'm very thankful that I chose the things that I did to heal and to get better after that experience. But I never blamed myself, and I never thought it was my fault, even though I had a feeling that something was going to happen. I wasn't tuned into my intuition then yet. I was 15 years old.
Oh, right.
So
no,
the last
it couldn't.
Thing I said to her, right?
Yeah.
I couldn't have known. The last thing I said to her was, you're not going to go do something stupid, are you? And she said, of course not. Call me back when you get off the phone. And the reason I share these stories is because so many people in life experience things like this, and then they blame themselves, and they spend the rest of their life in this pattern of blame and self-sabotage because they don't recognize that they don't have control over the things that happen around them. If it was my voice, if it was my girlfriend, my friend, and I only share these stories because I want people to recognize that we do have choices to choose to not allow it to impact our life in a negative way and instead choose to be a light and something that will give other people hope when they have the same experiences.
Wow, that's a huge amount of growth. And you know, my heart goes out to your friend who was so troubled at that time. And I know that we have a huge epidemic of this now, of teenage suicide.
And
it is, I mean, There's so much to say about that topic, but it's not their fault. It's not your fault. There are so many other contributing factors. And what you find now and what you really empower people about now is how to find that voice inside of you so that you can embrace whatever is going on. If you need to cry out for help, or if you find that you just want to be your true, authentic self and really call, you know, speak about your own truth and your own calling, then that's it. So much to do with finding your voice. Do you speak to teenage groups ever?
I actually have not started speaking to teenage groups. I mostly speak. It depends. Obviously, I'm also a business performance expert, so I speak a lot on business and a lot at conferences. But my favorite demographic to speak to is actually women.
Why is that?
And my favorite demographic, yeah, I feel like there's such a need, and I don't know if that's the right word, but I'm going to use it. I feel like there's such a need for women to believe in themselves. There's such a need that we're ready all day long to support the people that we love, our significant other, our children, our parents, our siblings, but we don't believe in ourselves the way we believe in others. So a lot of times I start with a lot of my talks, and that's really what my book is based on, The Successful Woman's Mindset. It's not about making money. It's about finding yourself, believing in yourself, knowing your worth, your value, your why, and embracing who you are, because there's just such a need for that as women. So that's one of my favorite things to do, is really speak to them.
And that's awesome, because you are going to do some on-air coaching today, and we're open and ready for anyone who wants to call in. And this really is for, I mean, specific for women, but anyone who has a challenge with finding your voice and how that relates to your business experience. You call us now, 818-985-5735. And Galit is here and ready to do business coaching. But let's talk about this in a little bit here, about what it takes in order to even, what if you don't know what your business could be? If you're working for someone and you realize that that might not have a very long career or any type of job security for you, and maybe you want to try to find something to do with your passion. And how do you even find that type of motivation? Being an entrepreneur myself, I know that I am the, you know, I'm the motivator every single Monday, every single Tuesday. What I put in is what I get out. And so I have to be really disciplined and structured with my level of motivation. How do you find that level of motivation from someone who's just starting out?
Well, first and foremost, the first thing that you asked is about how do you find out what your passion is. A lot of people really stop because they want to do something more. There's that feeling. One of my experiences in my life was everything from the outside looked perfect. Successful company. I've had a company for 25 years. Successful company, marriage, children. And then I would still go to bed at night and feel like something was missing. So the first thing I would suggest is don't ignore that. It's really easy to get caught up in the day-to-day, what I call routine of life, and forget to really check in with yourself. And you've got to check in with yourself. Your show is called The Aware Show. You must be aware. And one of the most favorite words that I use over and over again is awareness. When you are aware of something, now that's the first step, because obviously if you're not aware, how could you even begin to make change to head towards the direction that you hope? So first ask yourself, do I feel like something's missing? Then ask yourself why. Now I tell people to talk to themselves a lot, which might seem silly, but I always make the joke, please don't do it in public. I can't take responsibility for what happens, but we don't speak to ourselves enough. And we need to ask ourselves the questions we ask somebody that we love that's struggling or that's not sure what they want to do. And then the next thing that I would suggest is I would suggest you look at your life. And I tell people, make a list. And this is in my book, Lisa. Make a list of everything that you are good at. And people go, well, what do you mean? Are you good at organizing? Are you good at listening? Are you good at motivating? Are you a good teacher? It doesn't mean that you immediately have to think of it as some kind of job. Just write down everything you're good at. Because I believe that there are always people out there that are not good at something you're good at. And that in itself has value. because people will pay for that. Now, of course, I'm heart-centered. Everything starts and ends with passion and doing what I love. But it's nice to get paid for my value in doing what I love.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah, right? I mean, why not? If you're going to get paid for doing what you love. And so for me, that's a really big piece of this.
Yes. Well, what about when you're trying something, so caller is calling in but didn't want to go in there. What if you are, how do you know when to give up on a passion project if it's not making any money? How do you know when to quit?
See, I don't believe in the quitting. I believe that if you're on a passion project and it's not making money, you need to find somebody to show you how. And a lot of people stop because of the how. So there's something missing. There's something there. So I would suggest stepping back because you can't see it yourself. Hiring a mentor, taking a class, learning, there's something there that you need someone else to look at. So there might be a marketing piece. There might be the price that you're offering. There might be the way you're marketing yourself. Maybe it's not to the right demographic. But I wouldn't suggest giving up if it's something you absolutely love to do. I would suggest taking a step back and looking at it from a business perspective. Sometimes when we're emotionally involved in our passion projects or a passion business, we can't see the logical steps that we need to implement to make it successful.
The level of change. But then how do you hire somebody? There's that gap always in a cell phone business is you can grow the company if you hire more people, but you need more money to hire the people. And so that's challenging.
Yes, but I'm a businesswoman, and I've always thought of things from a business perspective. I started my first company when I was 21 with no money. I took out a loan to start my first company. A $50,000 loan, I paid it back within 3 years. And so I recognize that to make money, you need to invest. And, of course, there's a lot of creative ways to do that. But don't let money be the indicator to stop you. And if you think building a business doesn't take money, then you really need to step back and recognize you've got to set up a business plan and how much money. Because even if you're a coach, it takes money to start your business. You've got to have certain things in place. So every business takes money. I've never heard of a business that doesn't take money to start it or to get the right things that you need to get on the path to success.
True. Okay, that's one piece. And the other piece is time. So
yes.
I find myself being a professional emailer now. This is what it's come down to is that, I mean, yesterday I sat at my desk for probably 10 hours, just correspondence, conference calls, and I didn't get up till 10:30 last night. And then the list is still there. And then I talked to another friend of mine this morning who's also an entrepreneur, and she said, I've just come to terms with the fact that the to-do list will never go away. It's always going to be there. It's just always going to be there. Stop trying to get the whole thing checked off because you just keep adding to the bottom. And I do get that time scarcity thing. It's, you know, some people I know, like, they can just go to bed, turn it off. I cannot do that. Until certain things are, you know, complete. I need a certain amount of things to be complete. You're doing coaching on me now, Galit. Help.
No. Yeah, this is such a common thing with entrepreneurs. So the statistics are that we're going to spend a third of our life working. Entrepreneurs spend 63% more than people that work for somebody.
So that's 110%.
Oh, gosh, I don't even know. Don't make me do math, please. And so I'm going to share with you that I'm very aware. I run two businesses, and then I also travel a lot for work. What I have found is this. First and foremost, and I'm going to go ahead and coach you because you gave me an opening,
Yep. Is
you have to accept that there is a certain amount of things you're not going to get done in a day. That's the first thing. And remember, acceptance is huge as well. So awareness and then acceptance. For me, those two go number one and number two. Now, once you accept, which, by the way, is an internal thing, because I can go to sleep every night and shut it off, and I've learned with my own things that I do for myself, meditation, I don't work right till right before I go to bed.
Right.
I shut it off, certain things. But what I can give you is this, and this is something that is a really big thing I talk about. I have a goal-achieving success talk that I do a lot. You must sit back and ask yourself, what are my goals? And you've got to know what your goals are, and you've got to write them down. And then every time you're about to do a task on that to-do list, you must ask yourself if they directly relate to one of the goals that you want to accomplish. And I'm a three girl. I always pick three goals. And they might be broad, but I always say to myself, okay, I'm about to do this thing. Is this really relevant, and is this really urgent to do this second? And that's where the prioritizing comes in. You must prioritize your day, because I like to sleep. I don't know about you, Lisa, but if I don't get 7 to 8 hours a night, I am a zombie, and I sleep every night.
Yeah, yeah, I know. I know. This is why I get sick. Yes, I do know.
We're not going to go to that, because that's a whole nother, from my perspective and what I've learned, is because I shut it off, because I learned to prioritize, I knock on wood now don't get sick anymore. Because what used to happen years ago is I would burn myself out, and then my body would say, okay, we're going to make you stop, and then I'd be in bed for 5 to 7 days. So now I know, Glee, you've got to stop.
Mm-hmm.
And so the prioritizing is a huge part. One of the exercises I do is I have my clients sit down on a Sunday, plan out their week, and then I want them to write down what they do for every 30-minute increment for their work week. And then they sit down at the end of the week, they look back, and they look at how much percentage they spent on certain activities in their business and what they spent on personal. And then when they say, I don't have time, we look at it and say, okay, let's talk about what is in this percentages that you probably shouldn't be spending time on.
Mm.
And that's when they get this, what I call logical perspective, from the outside looking in.
Okay, so I'm inviting any struggling entrepreneur or anyone in the workforce who has questions about business coaching, give us a call right now. Galit is here to answer your questions. The phone number is 818-985-5735. That's 818-985-KPFK. And if you have any types of struggles that you're going through right now, there is an opportunity for you to get a different perspective on things, an entire different level of vision, which always helps. When somebody can peer into your business from a different perspective, it helps you see things that you don't see. So if you're spending half your day, working out or going to lunch with friends, and your business is struggling, you need to look back at that and scale it back and look at the amount of time that you're spending on. That's what you're saying, right? Is really look at your day and see where is the leak? Where's the time leak, right?
Yes, and also be kind to yourself. As women, and I can only speak from a female perspective because I'm a woman, but as women, we're not very kind to ourselves. And there's nothing wrong with having longer days. Lisa, I was on the computer last night till 10:30 too.
Oh, good. We should have emailed each other.
Yeah, very uncommon. But I knew that there was a certain amount of work I wanted to get done because I'm leaving town tonight. And I said, look, spend the extra hours on the computer, get it done so you can leave with peace of mind and actually enjoy your vacation. So for me, I was willing to give to get, and that's a conversation I have with myself. But I typically don't like to be, I'm an early bird. So you'll see me on the computer at 5:30 in the morning, but you won't see me on the computer in the evenings because I tend to operate a little bit better in the mornings. It depends on what works for you, and you should always know that.
Yep. Yeah. I'm a late bird. Much, much better.
It's always one or the other.
Yeah, it is. Okay. We've got a caller on the phone, Debbie in Los Angeles. And, Debbie has a question about, her business. Hi, Debbie. How are you?
Oh, hi. How are you?
Great.
I'm in my car.
Yeah. What can Galit help you with today?
So, my question is, I'm at a crossroads, ready to make, a career shift, and what do you recommend for somebody to think about this? Just today, I'm thinking of leaving my main job that offers benefits, and I was very, very passionate about the field that I went into, but things have happened with the company, and I thought I could stick it out another year, but I think I need to transition out. And I have a small business that I want to grow, but I haven't had the time to do it. But there's fear, and I have to make a decision, and it rattles around in my mind, so I'd love some help.
Great question. Okay.
So, Debbie, I think I heard that you said you have a small business on the side that you're starting or have been working a little on. Did I hear correctly?
Yeah, it's not new. I've had it for about 10 years. It's a small private practice, so I can take it anywhere. It's psychotherapy. I do a little coaching, but mostly intensive therapy. But I can definitely.
You're already ahead of the game. So My suggestion to you, I work with a lot of women that have careers that either they want to shift to a different career or they want to leave their current job, or a lot of them are starting businesses on the side in hopes that within a certain period of time they could completely be a solopreneur, an entrepreneur, and leave their career behind. So my advice to you would be this. First and foremost, you've got to look at your finances. We've got to be logical. Look at your finances and see what kind of cushion, if you have any. If you have a cushion, now give yourself a chance in that cushion to grow and give more time to your other business, especially if you're passionate about it. Because when we give more time to our business, because a lot of times if people are working and they have a business on the side, they obviously only have so many hours in the week. So first I would look at that. The second thing I would suggest that you do is you sit down and look at your current business and put together a plan of action that is directly related to finances, which means if I bring in this many more clients a month at this much money, this is how much more income I'm going to bring. And you know what? That would match what I'm making right now. So wait, this could really work. And then how long would it take me to bring in that many clients? And do I possibly think I could do it in this amount of time? So I want you to look at it from a logical perspective. One of the things I never do is if a client calls and says, Galit, I want to start my own business or I want to expand to my business and I want a career shift, I never say quit your job. I say, look at your finances. What are you capable of? And some of them will have a cushion of a few months, and they're willing to give it their all and try. So that's where I would start. Now, regarding the fear, that is a common denominator for people not making change. So change happens only in the uncomfortable. Being uncomfortable causes fear. I want you to take yourself to your worst-case scenario, and I know this isn't fun, but do that within yourself. What's the worst-case scenario if you choose to leave this job and build your business completely on the side? Oh, wait, I might have to get a job in 3 months. You see what I'm saying? I want you to revisit the fear so you can knock it out. Because when I take my clients to the worst-case scenario, it's typically not that bad. And then they realize that they're giving fear too much energy and too much power over the choices in their life.
That makes a lot of sense. But the minute you said that, I got that. It's not as big of a deal as I thought.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. Yes. Yes, it's true. We do make up these stories in our minds, and then we build them like bricks on a wall, and then they all of a sudden get really tall, and we make them solid. I do the same thing. I totally get it. And it just takes one person to say, wait, that wall doesn't really exist. You built that in your mind.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for your call. I appreciate it. We've got Teresa in Fountain Valley. Hey, Teresa, do you have a question for Galit?
Yes, I do. Thank you very much.
Yes.
I am a little bit scared, that's the word. I'm a 62-year-old woman, and I want to start a new business, but I don't want to do it as a full-time. I want to start, you know, I want to keep my job that I have, and then I want to start a like a part-time business. But mostly I think I'm looking to do this because I want to meet people and also do something that I will enjoy.
What kind of business?
I want to do wine tasting, like wine and painting.
I love it. I love it.
But I want to do it in my house. And I don't know where to start. I'm just like, the idea is really pounding on my head. And for once, I really, really want to do it, but I just don't know where to begin.
Well, I think you have about five listeners that want to come.
Yeah, I know. There you go. So, Teresa, first of all, good for you that you're listening to the thing that's pounding on your head because it won't stop. So I just want you to be aware. It's there because there's a reason for it. It's probably something you're really excited about. I can hear it in your voice. Passion is a voice thing. I hear it right away. And if you're excited about something, then you want to pursue it. So to get started, what I would suggest is you do some research. And you may have already done this, so I'm just going to go through a few quick steps. And if you've done it, just move to the next one. Do some research. Sure. Sometimes knowledge is power. Sometimes knowledge makes us feel more comfortable. How much do people charge? What kind of companies are out there? Now, I don't do this to cause fear. I do this so you know that it is possible. So whatever you do, don't let the competition stop you. One of my chapters is don't fear the competition. Learn from it. Learn from the competition if it's out there, and then make it your own. So the second thing that I would do after you do some research is I would ask friends. I love surveys. Set up a survey on Facebook. Set up a survey in your social media, whatever you use, or ask your friends in person. Hey, would you ever be interested in attending a party that had wine and paint at my house? Do you have groups that would be interested in doing that? Now what you're doing is you're doing personal research. So these things are going to start helping you feel more comfortable in hopes that they're going to knock out a little bit of the fear. Now, visit the fear. Ask yourself what you're fearful of. A lot of times it's failure, disappointing others, rejection, and you want to visit that and ask yourself why. And what you want to do is you want to look at that fear and say, wait, what is it within myself that I fear the most, and can I really overcome that? And sometimes it's just taking the steps to do some of these things that are going to start calming your mind and helping you through the fear. So it start with the research. I would start with asking your friends, and then the next steps are going to be very logical. Setting up a website today, you've got to have a website, some business cards, a name, different things like that. So now all of a sudden, sometimes, Teresa, I'll ask my clients, buy a domain, buy a website. They're like, what do you mean? I said, just buy the website of the name of the company you want to do. Even just spending that $18 or $20,
right,
all of a sudden they're like, wait, this is real. I could really do that.
And there's so many people that would love to do something like that. I mean, you said you're 62. You could go to, you know, women who are seniors and want connection and community, you know, dating services. You could go so many different places with that where really, you know, people who've lost their spouses or are newly divorced that just want to go out and do something fun and creative.
Right.
You know, it's a great chance for people to, who doesn't like wine and painting, even if you're not good at painting, it's all good. You know, you can find different niches. I think what Galit is saying is perfect. I mean, you've got to just, it's the mindset and the fact that, you know, you've got two cheerleaders right here saying, hey, this is a great idea. Go for it. Follow your passion and follow your dreams. That's sometimes all we really need.
I hope you get you to come.
Yes, you got it. I think that's a great idea. That's a great idea. Thank you.
I'm going to need a name.
Wine and paint. I mean, just start looking it up. Go online, look up wine and paint. Who knows?
Very good.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Excellent.
All right.
Thank you so much, both of you.
Thank you. Bye. I love her level of enthusiasm, too, because that's pretty cool.
And
you know?
Passion.
What yes.
Sharing that voice, that excitement. I hear it all the time in people, and then that's the passion. And a lot of people stop because they don't know the how. And what I share with them is there are millions of people that know how. Find someone that knows how to do what you don't. That's what is kind of like the domino effect of more businesses that can be successful. They fill the how for people like Teresa.
Yes, yes. And that's her inspiration will then carry throughout the rest of her day and say, hey, I did this. I have this idea, and wherever she is. And before you know it, she'll have five people. And then those people will tell friends and et cetera, et cetera. Question for you. How do you – you mentioned earlier about finding a mentor. Like you just mentioned to Teresa, you helped her with just a couple of great ideas. How do you find mentors that necessarily don't – have to pay up front or maybe can contribute or something like that?
Well, at the end of the day, there are a lot of statewide. I'm in Nevada, so definitely if it's in California, I know you're all over New York, wherever, take a look online. In Las Vegas, I can give you an idea. We have a women's business center, and it's nonprofit. So there are in almost every community some resources for anybody, women and men, that want to start their own businesses. You just have to look for it. One of my favorite things in the world is Google. And with Google, we can be so smart and have knowledge at the fingertips in our own home or in front of our laptop or phone. And so why don't anybody listening look up resources to start my own business in and put in your city? And you can even use the word nonprofit. You can use the word free. And just be cautious. I mean, if you're looking for something free, be cautious, because sometimes there's hooks. So if you're looking for something like that, I would suggest starting there. And then, of course, Lisa, there's always the mentors like myself that are, you're paying, but you're getting the privacy, the private one-on-one. So, but there's so many resources out there. There's classes at your community college, online courses you can take for free, YouTube. I mean, it's just, the resources are limitless, and we need to make sure anyone listening doesn't allow the how to stop them.
Right.
Because that is always, it's usually not the how, Lisa, it's the fear.
Interesting.
And then they use the how as an excuse.
As a mentor, what do you do? Do you have people on a structure where they have a list of things they need to get done before they speak with you? I'm like, what does a mentor do?
Well, it depends on who you hire. There are a lot of systems out there that are systematic, that have been trained a certain way, and they follow specific guidelines for session 1, 2, 3, whatever. I'm not like that. I chose not to study underneath any coaches, not that they're all not wonderful, but it wasn't me. I'm someone that could never be put in a box with the way that I do business, so I teach people to do business based on their strengths. So the way that I work with people is we get on a phone call first before they even hire me. I ask them questions. I learn about them. I have them give me some information through a survey, and I really, really listen to them. And then I learn about how they learn best, because everyone's different. And then each session we come up with, when we're talking in person, I do a lot of through video because not all my clients are local. And we actually have steps. Now, of course, there's logical steps, but it could be different for each person. It really is about that person.
Right.
How much time do they have? What do they actually want to do? How much money do they have? It just depends on that individual.
Time factor is important. I mean, I understand that you had, you know, you raised 3 children, single mom, you ran a business. How did you manage your time?
Well, when I was younger, because we didn't have Google Calendar then, I lived and breathed through a planner. Everything was written in my little daily planner that I carried with me everywhere. So if it wasn't in the planner, it didn't exist. And it was just because with 3 kids, different activities, different times to be picked up from school, and everything else, and then the business meetings, I had to run my life through a schedule. And it wasn't that I did everything that was put on there, but the major important things, like volleyball games, basketball games, doctor's appointments, meetings with clients, were put on there. Today I live and breathe through a Google Calendar.
Yeah, yeah.
So everything is on my Google Calendar. I have it synced. I look at it every night before the next day because I just can't remember what I'm doing the next day.
Right,
so
right.
That's the logical. The other stuff was I just was careful to know that with 3 kids and running a business, there just wasn't going to be a lot of extra time. So I made sure that I got up before them. I made sure I had 30 to 60 minutes every morning alone. It was worth it for me to miss the sleep so I could breathe and not be rushed the second I got out of bed.
Mm.
And then I always made sure I set up girl time, and I always made sure I set up vacation time. Even though it was in my calendar, I always made sure that I took care of myself, because I was worth nothing to all the people I was taking care of if I didn't take care of myself.
That's true. That's absolutely true. Well, there's a lot more to learn here. The book is called Successful Woman's Mindset. And it's really a lot about mindset. And this is a book that where could people find your book?
It's all over. Right. It's all over online. Amazon, Kindle, Apple, Barnes & Noble. It's really easy to find online.
And is there a good way to reach you in terms of if people would like to find you for speaking events or to talk with you? Is there a good way to reach out to you?
Oh, thank you for asking, Lisa. I'm on all social media except for Twitter. So you can find me by Galit Ventura Rosen and private message me. You can also reach me through email at galit@galitventurarosen.com.
So it's G-A-L-I-T, Ventura, V-E-N-T-U-R-A, Rosen, R-O-Z-E-N.com. And that's how you would find, yes. And it's wonderful if you want to speak with a group of women or be a mentor or come in some way help you overcome personal challenges. I'm pretty sure that she's been through it. So
yes.
That's very helpful. Well, thank you so much. And for all that you've gone through, and I think maybe someday you should start talking to teenagers, because that's also where it starts.
I love that. I love that. And I've actually thought about it. I think that may be next.
Yeah.
And I think it may be part of the journey for sure.
Right. Because, I mean, look, our teenagers need to start super early, not in terms of a pressure, but knowing how the world works today and knowing what the entrepreneurial spirit looks like. And, you know, being a lot more self-empowered helps with self-confidence as well. And I don't mean being an influencer. I mean finding out what really, how you feel from the inside out in terms of passion. And it's for everyone. It's really, truly for everyone. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Take care. And once again, Galit Ventura Rosen is my guest. And thank you so much for being a part of this program and for listening. You can always watch us on Free Speech TV if you go to freespeech.org. And if you just look for The Aware Show, we're right up there. Also, Inspirations on Gaia. I have over 200 shows on that network. Really, really great shows with your favorite guests. Lots of practical information, exercises, and tools that you can experience and really transform by watching these shows. That's the whole point of transformational media. Thank you so much to Gina Salvati for executive producing the show and Joyce Walker, producer of the show. And thank you so much to all of you for participating and listening. I'm Lisa Garr, and until next time, I invite you to stay aware.